Greetings, and welcome to episode 26 of Linux for the Layman. Today I'm going to take you on a journey through disaster. This is something none of us ever wants to face, but it does happen from time to time. For a lot of what I'm about to tell you to make sense, you need to be thoroughly familiar with the way the file system is set up, how disk drives are attached to a system, and most importantly, and I know I keep saying this over and over, familiarity with the command line. You don't have to know all the commands that are helpful to have from the command line, but it helps to be very familiar with using the command line and the kind of power that it contains. I'm going to go back a couple of weeks. I had been having some minor issues with my main computer. This is my primary desktop that has everything attached to it, including a removable backup drive with which I usually keep current backups of everything on the machine. However, I hadn't done a complete backup in a while. I'm not sure how long. Note to the wise, backup your data files every chance you are comfortable with. I would recommend a minimum of once a month. If you do a lot of activity and you process a lot of files and you move things around a lot, do it every week. Make sure that your backup utility removes files that you've moved or removes the old location so when the new one's backed up, you don't get a full backup drive with no room left on it because you've got tons of duplicate files. I have a way of handling that I'm not going to go into right now. But it had been a while since I had done a backup, and I was relatively secure. I believe I got a notice of a system update, so I went and did the update, and when I tried to reboot, the system did not come up. The boot prom would not let it come up. It said it was getting smart errors on one of the drives. I tried rebooting, that didn't work. I tried rebooting, that didn't work. So I rebooted and went into the prom and turned off the smart monitor on that drive. Wasn't hard to figure out which one because it said it was failing. I did that, rebooted the machine, came right up, but that's a warning that the disk health was no good. Now this is my first extra data drive. There's nothing critical on it, but there's a lot of files that I want to keep, and I knew immediately I had to replace it. Now this drive was a hard disk drive, 3.5-inch hard disk, 2 terabytes, and I thought, maybe I should get a solid state drive. Why not? They're way faster, and they're pretty reliable. So I looked around for an inexpensive 2 terabyte solid-state drive, found one, bought it, brought it. When it came in, I did not install it on that drive. What I did was I backed up my home drive onto the solid-state drive because that would make my home data accesses, reads and writes, much faster. Once I verified it was all safe and sound, I pulled out the home drive, plugged it into my external port for managing disks, wiped out the data, reformatted it, copied the old extra data drive in its entirety to the old home drive. When that was finished, I pulled out the old extra data drive, replaced it with the new extra data drive that used to be my home drive, and I rebooted and went happily on my way. Except that particular drive is the oldest one I have. It's a 5400 RPM, which is the slower disk drive. The newer ones are mostly 7200 RPM. And on a drive that I'm going to be using on a regular basis, I don't want an old slow one. So I also purchased a new 2 terabyte 3.5-inch drive to replace it, because the 3.5 models are pretty reliable. That old home drive, the 5400 RPM, was about 10 years old, and it was still working beautifully. It was working better than the extra data drive that I replaced, which is only about 6 or 7 years old. Anyway, I got the whole machine up and running, and everything was fine. A couple of weeks ago, I started having some very strange problems. In the middle of doing something on my Windows virtual machine, the machine disappeared. I've never seen that before. I figured the VirtualBox had crashed it. So I rebooted it, and it came up fine. I didn't have the clue then that there was something really wrong, and I didn't know where to look either. A while later, the same thing happened in Chrome. And it happened in Firefox. And it happened in LibreOffice. Happened in one of my LibreOffice sessions. Now, all these are recoverable, but they're very strange things to happen on a system that's 100% healthy. I started asking in the Ubuntu users group what could be going on here, and they suggested I check the home drive, the new solid-state drive that's supposed to be very reliable. It's only 6 months old. I didn't know what to check it with, so I started looking around for options, and I found one called Disk Scan, which is a non-threatening disk drive scanner. It will scan an entire drive. It will scan a mounted drive. It'll scan drives that are not mounted. There are more options if it's not mounted, but I just wanted to know what the health of the drive was. And that scan took a very long time. Ultimately, when it was finished, Disk Scan said the disk failed, because there were a lot of areas on the disk that it was having trouble reading. They were timing out on long reads. And when I looked at the histogram the disk scan produces, there were several areas with extremely high latency times, meaning it took a long time to read those areas. I went back to the Ubuntu user group, and they said, "Sounds like your disk is dying." It's only 6 months old. I said, "Well, actually, it was only 4 months old." But I kept having strange situations where, out of nowhere, I would get errors saying that the file can't be written or can't be created. This happens when a disk is told that if it gets too many errors to jump into read-only mode, which means you can't write to it. That means you can't create files, you can't write files. It's usable for getting data off of, and that's pretty much it. Once I started seeing that, I had to agree with the gents in the group that said, get rid of it, replace it as fast as you can. So I did that. But this had me going for quite a while, and on Monday of last week, actually it was Monday of this past week, July 18th, the system wouldn't boot because the home drive could not be written to. And the home drive has to be writable when you boot the machine. Now, it takes a little bit of time for replacement disks to be delivered, even if you order them the fastest way possible, which I didn't. I don't like paying extra for that kind of delivery. But Newegg shipped me one in 3 days. In the meantime, I was thinking I couldn't use my computer at all. Well, that's not true. What is true is that if I arrange for it not to mount that drive as /home, where all the home files are, which I did, it changed the file system table so it would skip that drive. What happens is it brings up /home on the boot drive. Now, that directory was hopelessly out of date because I haven't used it in a long time, much longer than 6 months. But I could bring it up to speed. I couldn't bring it up to all the data because the home drive is also 2 terabytes and the boot drive is only 240 gigabytes because the boot drive doesn't usually need that much space. But I moved as many files as I absolutely had to have to function, and I used that home directory until the new disk came in, and then I did the necessary data copying and so forth. And as far as I can tell, the data on the failed solid-state drive was still good, it just couldn't be written to. So I could read all the files off of it. I compared them to my backups, everything was fine. I installed the new home drive, put it in the file system table, took out the old home drive, and I'm back to normal. And this was one of the most exciting periods of my computer use that I can remember, for all the wrong reasons. To me, it was a complete disaster for 4 days, partly because I wasn't prepared for it and I didn't think it through. I had the machine down completely for a whole day before I figured out I can run this off the /home on the boot drive temporarily. If I had thought of that up front, I wouldn't have been in such a panic mode. As it was, that didn't occur to me until 24 hours later. Another moral to the story: think before you act. Take a step back, take in all the options, observe which one's most likely to work, and then proceed. And by the way, in case you don't know it, that is an acronym: STOP. Stop, take a step back, observe, and proceed. So if I had stopped when this panic occurred, I would have been back running again the same day rather than 24 hours later. That's my cautionary tale. To do these things, you have to know a few things, like what I said at the beginning. Disk scan is a command line command only. The smart monitor tools are primarily command line tools. There is a graphics version. But remember, if you need something immediately and it isn't already installed, but it needs to be able to write to your home drive, and then your home drive is the one that went out, not good. You won't be able to use it. My machine is back up to snuff. This wasn't the broadcast I was going to do today. Someone asked me about Linux administration, so I will cover that in episode 27. I will try to get that out in less than another month and a half. It's been a very busy time for me. My full-time job consumes full-time, and I have to sneak these broadcasts in on the weekend when I have other activities as well. I hope you enjoyed this, maybe learned something from it. If you have questions, feel free to email me, linuxforthelayman@gmail.com. If you liked it a lot, please tell your friends about it. Invite them to come and listen. The more, the merrier. I'm doing this for free. If you feel like contributing, you're welcome to. I won't say no, but it's not required. This is one of the things that I enjoy doing with my spare time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll be back for another episode soon. Have a great day. Bye for now.